Flesh ripped through with bullets meant for a battlefield. Not an exaggeration. She couldn't decide if her fragile, early bird friends had looked surprised, mouths agape, dentures exposed in shock, or had they, in their wisdom, always known it was coming. A part of her had wanted to rush in, find the gunman, launch herself in front of his weapon or onto his back to tear out his hair, puncture his eyes. The part of her that lived in the real world scampered off to the side of the building to hide behind a bush. She kept trying to call 911, but her hands were shaking too hard, and she couldn't even unlock her phone. It didn't matter. The sirens came anyway, and more sirens, and more. And the SWAT team, and television crews. She was still hiding behind the bush when the news alert first broke on the internet, and her neighborhood plunged into mourning. 1. They were too busy to watch the sunset or the moonrise beyond the two-story windows of Beck's Flagstaff living room. They would be getting up before dawn and still had a lot to do. The cathedral ceiling was buttressed with thick timber beams that suited the rustic locale and made the space feel huge in spite of the heavy furniture and clutter. Night now hid the pine trees that made a perimeter around the house, but Imogen swore she could still smell them, even through the glass wall. It looked like a bomb had exploded. Ziploc bags filled with travel-sized toiletries, first aid gear, fire lighting stuff, puffy sleeping bags, backpacks, mattress pads, of both the egg crate and inflatable varieties. Hiking boots, padded socks, hoodies, adjustable nylon straps, compact flashlights, bamboo walking sticks, plastic bowls, protein bars, crushed rolls of toilet paper, fuel canisters, water canteens. Of some items, there was only one. The small stove, the pot it fit in. The fluorescent orange plastic trowel for burying poop. Of some items, there were many. Lumpy, freeze-dried food packages that turned into tantalizing dinners with the addition of boiling water. Imogen's sister, Beck, had lured her out of her hermit's cave with the promise that nature would be healing. The subtext couldn't have been more obvious. Stop brooding and get out of the damn house. They'd talked about it on the phone 4 times in a span of 2 weeks. When Imogen questioned if she could fly all the way to Arizona by herself, Beck reminded her she'd done it many times before. When Imogen questioned if she was strong enough for such an arduous trip, Beck reassured her that backpacking was in her blood. For every doubt Imogen expressed, her sister was ready with a breezy counter. She'd said, "You can do this," so many times that Imogen had started to believe it. In the months since the shooting, Imogen had cycled through bouts of overwhelming sadness and fear, and maddening frustration at her own uselessness, all of which had made her reclusive tendencies even worse. She'd started ordering delivery instead of going around the corner to pick up her Vietnamese food. Once a week, she headed up Murray to the Giant Eagle for bananas and snacks and hurried home with her eyes on the sidewalk. The names of her lost friends were still posted in the storefront windows. Another tragedy for the Jewish community to never forget. Crocheted stars of David dangled from branches, parking meters, telephone poles, shipped to Squirrel Hill from around the country. A constant reminder that Imogen didn't want to see. And yet, her hermit's cave was no longer the sanctuary it had always been, where she could shut away the world and make productive use of her imagination. She hadn't believed writer's block was a real thing. But over the past year, every story she considered felt empty, unworthy, too trivial to bother with. It was a miracle of good fortune that her second novel, Esther's Ghost, had sold just weeks after the shooting. It gave her a slight distraction from the horror and lack of words. While Beck grew ever more cautious about inquiring about the dry spell or the wordless hiccup, Imogen knew it fueled her concern. No doubt that if Beck needed inspiration, she'd find it in the Grand Canyon. But would it work for Imogen? The months of preparation, walking up and down her building stairs with a day pack full of canned goods, had brought back fond memories of backpacking with her family, though she couldn't pretend she'd done nearly enough exercising. Every time one of her neighbors exited their apartment, she'd scurried back to her cave before anyone could see her. She'd never had an apartment with so much as a Juliet balcony to stand on to watch a thunder.